On the fan line, a good friend, Steve Thompson, WCCO Radio, formerly of KWSN, joining us on the fan line. Hey, Steve, good afternoon.
How you doing, guys?
We're great. Good, hey, happy summer to you. Have you taken a vacation yet this year?
I have not taken a day off here and there, but no, we're not really planning on anything until maybe we travel to Sioux Falls in August.
Aha! Uh-huh.
I've heard Sioux Falls is lovely in August.
It is. Yeah, yes, it is. Well, if we can, if you get into town, let me know. We'll see if we can't get you inside that brand new event center and give you a little tour of what's going on.
Craig's got some pull.
I would love that. Yeah. I love new arenas and ballparks. That would be great.
Yeah, so let me know. Maybe we can work it out for you when you come to town, coming up here this later this summer. Steve, when it comes to the Minnesota Twins, we debated this yesterday. What's going to come first, the current players on this roster who are pretty young, getting good and being a contender, or management spending more money to try to bring in better free agents to make this team better?
Boy, it really is tough to figure out because the Twins find themselves in another spot where they're going to probably lose 90-plus games based on what we've seen as of late. Now, maybe they could come out of this and surprise us and play better ball, but the simple fact of the matter is it looks like it'll be another. This would be the fourth 90-plus loss season. And Twins management has been stubborn. They've stuck with Ron Gardenhire and Rick Anderson. They've moved some of their coaches out of the way, Jerry Wright, Rick Stelmazik in the bullpen. There have been some minor moves on the coaching staff. They brought Paul Molitor in, Terry Steinbach. Some think that Molitor or Steinbach are managers in waiting. But the simple fact of the matter is the Twins have been very stubborn. They had success for a time. Let's face it, it's been a long time since they've won a playoff game, over a decade now, since they've actually won a game in the playoffs, and they've got to change their approach. And I think blaming it all on Joe Mauer and Joe Mauer's contract, I think people need to set that aside. It was the right deal at that time for Joe Mauer. It was the right deal at that time for the Twins. Now, a pitcher they went out and got on the free agent market, Ricky Nolasco, is injured. He's been below average at best this year. But that shouldn't preclude the Twins from trying to get the ball club better by spending money on free agents. They maybe did get burned by Ricky Nolasco, but that's part of the game. That happens. And I don't think the Twins should just shut the door on, hey, we have a lot of money committed to Joe Mauer, and we got burned in the Ricky Nolasco deal so far. I think they need to look beyond that. Because remember, guys, Byron Buxton is hurt, and when he returns to the field, will be in high A ball down in the Florida State League. That's a long way from the big league.
Mm-hmm.
Miguel Sano has not appeared in the big leagues yet. We have no idea what these guys are going to do. Some of the other pitchers and the other prospects, they maybe have been good in the minors. Maybe they've impressed. That's not the big leagues. So I think it's imperative for the Twins to still look at how do you make the ball club better with young players, but you've got to augment that with free agents and established players. For 90-plus losses, it's going to get harder and harder to convince people to shell out their hard-earned money and come to the ballpark. It's all going to be business at some point, especially when you have the All-Star game in the rearview mirror. I think they're going to be in really a tough spot trying to convince people to re-up and buy season tickets in 2015.
Yeah, the Twins, when they were at their best, Steve, in the mid-90s, they had that young core players that they brought up, like the Pruszynski, Mankiewicz, Koski, Guzman, Rivas, Hunter, Jones. I think they got Matt Lawton and the Rick Reed deal from the Mets. But when I'm looking at some of the free agents, the Twins have never, I can't say never, but I mean, I take a look at some of these names. I mean, Jason Marquis, Scott Aldred, Sidney Ponsone, Rondell White, Mike Pelfrey. These are names that the Twins, for whatever reason, especially when it comes to pitching, free agency wise, they're always missing. Is that just bad evaluation by the front office?
Well, I'll go further than that. I think it starts at the top. I think any franchise, whether it's the NFL or MLB or the NHL or the NBA, it starts at the top. It starts with the owner. I'll give you a good example. Craig Leopold, who owns Minnesota Wild. What's Craig Leopold done? He's told Chuck Fletcher, you go out and you get players, and let's talk about money. What did he do? Parisi and Suter. Can you imagine the Pollads committing just shy of $200 million to two guys like that? Now, granted, they signed their own guy in Joe Mauer, but they had to with the new ballpark opening. I almost look at the Mauer signing as an investment in the new ballpark in some way. So let's set that aside. Parisi and Suter, and then what they do? They went out and they got Vanek.
Yeah.
And Vanek gave him a hometown discount, but he was a free agent. So it's the attitude of the owner that drives this. And you know what? Say what you want about the Ziggy and Mark Wolf, but in general, they have had the attitude, we want to win, we're not going to be afraid to spend money on players. Now, the Vikes have a salary cap to deal with. They have a salary cap to deal with in the NHL. They have a salary cap to deal with in the NBA. What's the only sport that doesn't have a cap? MLB. Who are some of the richest owners in Major League Baseball?
The Pollad
family. There's no excuse. It all starts at the top. You can't blame Bill Smith anymore. You can't hang it on Terry Ryan or Ron Gardenhire or scouting. It starts with the attitude of the owner. If Jim Pollad walked into the room and said, boys, I'm tired of this, things would change. But until Jim Pollad says he's tired of it, until it starts with the owner, then you're going to see same old, same old. The Twins surfing in the bargain basement, bringing in guys. I mean, what was Kubel? What was Bartlett going into this season? These guys were cooked. They're no longer around. They're candidates for the annual Tony Bautista Award that I hand out at the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And if you want, guys, next week I'll come back on the show and announce the winner. But the simple fact of the matter is, it starts at the top of the Twins. There's no one to blame but Jim Pollad. It starts there.
It's funny you mentioned Tony Bautista. He was another one that I mentioned. 236, five home runs in 50 games before he was released. Are the Twins just banking on Target Field in that honeymoon period continuing to last? Because
They're still drawing 2.4 million people.
Some of these crowds, and these crowds are dwindling. How much before the honeymoon factor and the newness and the novelty of Target Field wears off for everybody?
Well, I think this is probably the year. I think that you would have probably seen a steep decline in 2014, but you had so many people that wanted to be a part of the All-Star game and the festivities. It kept me in. I have a 20-game package. I didn't want to re-up, but I'll tell you what, I was able to score tickets. They were very expensive for all the All-Star festivities, and I will say I turned them at a pretty nice profit.
Nice.
So at the end of the day, I think that kept a lot of people in. It'll be very interesting to see as this season plays out and the Twins start getting into season ticket renewals, what renewals are going to look like. Mm-hmm. They were down a ton over a year ago, and they had the All-Star Game carrot. Now they don't have that carrot. And, guys, I'm telling you, I think you're going to see another big decline, and then that's really going to be telling. But the flip side of it, yes, Target Field's a drop. People come from all over the upper Midwest to visit the ballpark between Memorial Day and Labor Day. I don't think that's going to change. I think people come to the cities and spend a few bucks and shop and go to a ball game and hit some of the attractions. That'll always be there. But I think the Twins have to be very worried about April, Mays, and Septembers going forward. There are going to be very small crowds in that ballpark because, hey, when there's no guarantee of good weather, I just think people are going to start staying away in droves. So I think the honeymoon's just about over for Target Field.
Yeah, I think next year will be huge because I gave these stats yesterday. When the Twins won 90 games in a row back in the early 2000s, they weren't drawing $2 million a year, even when they won 90 games a year. The last 3 years, they've been losing 90 games a year. They're drawing 2.4, 2.5 million people. Let's see what happens next year when they lose another 90 games this year. And Target Field, maybe, is that going to be enough for people to still go to Twins games?
Yeah, and I think in some ways the Twins lost the handle on what really matters, and that is player development and scouting. I've talked to a couple of people who used to be a part of the organization. Now, you got to take that with a grain of salt. But I think that the sentiment I got and the people I talked to who used to be part of Minnesota Twins baseball and no longer are is that they became so wrapped up in the new ballpark that they forgot about the product on the field, that it became so much about creating this environment. But at the end of the day, look at the Pittsburgh Pirates. They still have one of the great ballparks in the major leagues in PNC Park. And the reason people are coming back is because they have a pretty good ball club or have been competitive in the past couple of years. It can't be about the ballpark. People showed up at the Dome when the team was great, when you had great stars and won those world championships. How great was the Dome in 87 and 91? Mm-hmm. And the Dome was horrible for baseball, but the team was great, and they won a couple of world championships, and I think there is a lesson in that.
Yep.
The arena, the stadium, the ballpark only takes you so far. It's still got to be about the players and the product on the field or the court.
Yep, got to have a couple of superstars to lead the way, and right now they really don't have that. Hey, Steve, thanks for the time, pal. Just remember, coming to Sioux Falls, let me know ahead of time. We'll get you in that new arena.
Yeah, you guys, and I'll shoot you an email on the winner of the annual Tony Batista Award.
Yes, please.
I think you shouldn't even you should break it on our show for the Sioux Falls fans.
Wow.
Hey, I'll do it, guys.
Okay.
Now, we already talked about Kubel. We already talked about Bartlett, who was here for a very short period of time. If you've got another name, you know, shoot me an email.
Okay.
I'll consider it.
Okay, right. Steve, we'll do it then.
Is this a formal affair too then, Steve? Is this black tie? I mean, what's dress code for this?
No. This is a hot dog and a PBR.
Nice.
I can do that in a cut off Leonard Skinner T-shirt. I'm there.
Alrighty.
Yeah, that's what kind of deal it is, Chris.
All right, Chris, we'll do that with Chris too. All right, Steve, thanks, pal. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you guys.
There you go, Steve Thompson.